Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Bass, pickerel, pickerel bass, crappies, yellow perch. Want to get tight a little bit and throw in some white perch there? The freshwater bite is on, and it is torrid. In what, 3 weeks, the trout season opens April 8th at 8 a.m.? And by the way, as of Monday, trout-stocked waters, even though maybe your favorite bass lake, pickerel lake, crap lake, what have you, if it is stocked with trout, it is off-limits to fishing. But there are exceptions, too, in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area. Lake Shenandoah. Up there in, what's that, by Lakewood area, and also Prosper Town Lake, they are 537 there in Jackson. If you're catching trout in these, catch and release only. Also, the trout conservation area stretches on the Toms, the Muskie, the Kennelock Woods River, they are open, catch and release only. Hey, we have a couple of bass tournaments coming up. It looks like, the 25th of March on the Cooper River, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club. You got a yak, give them a call to get in on there. Also on April 1st, the Mirror Lake, another kayak tourney, again by the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club. And also April 1st on Union Lake from 7 in the morning till 3 by the Cumberland County Bassmasters. Go to SouthJerseyBassAnglers.org, get the full tournament schedule on there. Don't forget today, too, if you can get over there to the Ocean City Civic Center, 5th of the Boardwalk in Ocean City. It's the Red Raider. Fishing, sale, and flea market. All proceeds go directly to the Ocean City School Fishing Club's new used collectible and fresh and saltwater tackle. There will be refreshments available. Plenty of free parking. Okay, admission for adults, $4. Youngsters 6 to 13, $1. Children under 6 are in free with a paying adult. Yeah, a lot of stuff is going on, too. And I'll tell you, just early, it's starting to get there by the day. Man, we are expecting a super turkey season. If I'm seeing this many birds, they are all over the place. Don't forget, the leftover permits, and those are people who didn't pick up, are going to go on sale at 10 a.m. on Monday, March 27th. I just got a text from my lovely Dee Marie just the other day. Two long beards just walked through. She is out there. You got to hear her this early in the morning. With her diaphragm call or pod call. She is just fired up. But hey, saltwater is the striper bite still going on? Tog season is going to open April 1st. It's going to be a happy new year on that one. But funding for saltwater fishing for the Bureau of Marine Fisheries definitely need more money, and they could definitely use more more personnel, that's for sure. Coming up our next segment is Tom Foote. He wrote an excellent paper. He testified for the testimony for the Senate and Assembly Budget Committee. Okay, this was just the other day. We're going to be going over some figures with him and the banter. Again, it always pops up, and not that it's going to happen. I'm neither pro nor con, but a saltwater license, will that bring more money in New Jersey? Would it be dedicated in Jersey? That's another thing. And friends, word from our good friends in New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Lake Access Bill, A-1047 and S-987, both in New Jersey Senate and Assembly. They need to get passed. What this bill will do, generate monies, $1 million, whatever, for access to lakes that right now you either want to launch, you're going to have to take out a second mortgage, or you have to cross private land to get to it, hence no access. I'm talking Greenwood Lake. I know that's up there on the New York, Jersey, but yeah, we keep stocking it with muskies and walleyes and stuff. Whoa, if they're making it almost impossible to fish it, why are we still doing that? Go to NJOA.org. They have the information on there. You have, let's see, we have Assemblyman Kennedy. He is up there in Rahway, and we have Senator Sarlo. He's up there, way up there in Woodridge. So get on it. Get on, check it out. They have a letter already written for you. They have the phone numbers on there. Access, no fishing, and yet we're paying to stock this lake. And all the private people that own the houses, nothing against them, you know. They're reaping the benefits. And the one or two marinas up there launching, charging, I'm hearing, $25, $50, something, even if they allow you to launch. They don't even want you there. It's crazy. Hey, man, grab that cup, grab that rubber beer. We're back with Tom Foote. Also, word out, fish bites, car specialty baits. Ooh, they have some new baits out. Joining us is a pro staff director, Brett Berta. He's going to be, we got some new stuff. We're going to talk about fish bites. And also, don't forget that Saltwater Expo show is going on today and tomorrow up there at the New Jersey Expo and Convention Center at 97 Sunfield Road in Edison. Anything and everything saltwater. This is it. All the big guns are there, including the fish bites. Check it out. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Fox on Tech.
Hey, Microsoft Office users, remember Clippy? That was the animated paperclip that tried to be your assistant when writing in Word, running numbers in Excel, or making slides in PowerPoint. Microsoft did away with it years ago, but Microsoft is announcing a new AI called Copilot for the Microsoft 365 apps. It's powered by GPT from OpenAI and won't be a piece of cartoon office supplies, but a chatbot that you can ask to do certain things within the Office 365 environment, including Microsoft Teams. For instance, you can ask Copilot to create a presentation in PowerPoint based on a Word document you created. Copilot will also integrate with Outlook to manage your inbox. Microsoft is now testing the AI with a small group, but will expand to more users in its preview phase and eventually offer it to the 365 subscribers. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey man, striper season's rolling along fine. Plenty of fish being caught in the back bays. Todd is going to open up in what? A little under 2 weeks. Looks like 13 days. It will open for one. It's going to be April 1st till April 30th and a four fish limit. And it is happening. The bites are happening, which is bringing us around now to with the new regs out for the porgies. Guys took a hit. Porgy sea bass and summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke. What is happening with the Bureau of Marine Fisheries? Funding especially. People always ask me that. I said, you know, you have I'm thinking if you count all the people there, the research scientists, the principal biologists, senior biologists, program specialists, assistant biologists, and the administrator and the chiefs, you have 43 on staff. Sounds like a lot, but when you consider the fisheries we have, the miles of coastline, and including Delaware Bay there, and the quality of fishing and what they have to handle, recreational and commercial, I would say sorely understaffed. But where is the money coming from? Interesting white paper crossed my desk from Tom Foti. Tom's a frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio. He's a commissioner with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. He is the legislative liaison, New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, and the Jersey Coast Anglers Association. Hey, if you get up to the Saltwater Expo today, be sure to stop by that booth. Absolutely. And it's regarding the numbers of anglers we have here, the billions of dollars spent, the ancillary monies generated, and surprisingly enough, our Bureau of Marine Fisheries is, when you look at other states especially, is severely underfunded. I got a hold of Tom. He is all over the place, as usual. Tom wanted to talk about this funding, some ideas. There was a recent meeting in Trenton, some ideas that are being floated, and the one ultimate question when it all boils down to it. Will there ever be a saltwater license in New Jersey? There, I said it. Hey, Tom Foti, thanks for your patience, little brother. Great to have you back on Rack and Fin. I know you have the show up there this weekend. It is going to be a super busy weekend for you, but what else is new? Thanks for coming on, Tommy. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Tom, great paper here. Really opened my eyes. I mean, this had to be, this is just all this information and some of the ideas to generate more money. But, Tom, the simplest thing, and you pointed out, the simplest thing is to have more money allocated to Bureau of Marine Fisheries, but it seems that it never happens.
It's always a struggle. And you think about it, if you look at that economic data, we put in over $1 billion into the state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
$1.1 billion, according to their figures, and probably more because, you know, people buy houses to be at the shore so they can go fishing. People travel and rent houses at the shore so they can go fishing and spend the weekend. They go out in the party and charter boats. I mean, so it's a huge economic impact to New Jersey. And yet we spend not a lot of money. We don't spend any tourism dollars, very little on fisheries. You know, other industries, because they're big industries, like, you know, pharmaceuticals, things like that, and they have big power because they have a lot of money, they get listened to. We're small mom-and-pop operations, tackle stores, charter boats. Yeah, some we have, like, a few bigger entities in the state. But for the most part, we're small, real small businessmen. And we don't really get together enough to basically put pressure on the government to basically do what they're supposed to do.
Tom, an interesting figure came up with here. Listen, check this out. 1,400,000 anglers who fish in New Jersey spent $867.6 million and supported at least, check this out, nearly 7,500 jobs. Jersey ranks second in the country in number of trips made for recreational saltwater fishing, ranks second or third in number of anglers, and we rank third in commercial fishing landings. However, this is what makes me choke. We are outspent by a Bureau of Marine Fisheries by almost every state. And
except
Delaware, right. So, how does...
And they might spend more than us. I don't know. But, yeah.
So, Tom, this is an exhaustive study here, and just the numbers are mind-boggling. And where does some of the money go that was a portion? For example, you made a great point here about Island Beach four-wheel drive fishing access. The McGreevy administration jumped it from $100, $125 to $195, and all the money went in the general fund. It seems like the funds for this are getting raided. What's up with that?
Well, it's always been that way. Matter of fact, God, this is how long ago. Senator Russo, when he was basically the senator from Tom's River, basically tried to put a bill in to get that as dedicated funds for the park and for parks and fish and wildlife. And it never got anywhere because, you know, the state, they don't want to dedicate any funds to anything but themselves. And so what they can use for whatever budget items they want to put it on their priorities, not ours.
That's
the real problem. I mean, we collect a lot. I mean, you just look at sales tax numbers. We're about $130 million. If we took if they dedicated 5% of that, what I'm looking for is a steady source of funding. You know, that we don't have to go always looking back, that we know we're going to get $5 or $6 or $7 or $8 million into the Bureau, and this way they can plan. If you took 5%, 8% of that number, we'd have a huge, we have triple what we have now in the marine fisheries budget. And people ask, why do we need more? Well, for years, we've been trying to get our own region in Tatog, because Tatog don't migrate up and down the coast. They migrate in and out. If we had enough science, we've tried this a couple of times, but we don't have the money to dedicate to get all the science we need. We can manage it for what we want to do, and we don't have to worry about the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. It should be managed by New Jersey, but we don't have the money to do the management properly and get the science behind it. So it's been an ongoing battle. I mean, we did get some new personnel on the Murphy, but some of those new personnel went to wind because they have to do a lot of research on wind to basically make sure that everything's being followed. So we finally fought for years, and when we finally get appropriate, then wind comes up and they take a few of those people away. But we really needed influx. I mean, you remember, Tom, years ago we had, when was the Division of Fish and Wildlife, we had an economist to actually look at the economy, how it affects the economy in New Jersey, did all kinds of study. Mm-hmm. That's gone. We used to have our own lawyers there. That's gone. I mean, and what's really upsetting to me is, we used to have people who used to hang around the Division of Fish and Wildlife for 30 years or 40, 35 years because they enjoyed the job they were doing. When you put the person under so much stress because he's got to do four jobs instead of one or two, he basically gets burnt out. And so it's 25 years and out, so we lose all this institutional memory. And so we're always training new people. Go ahead.
Okay, that's exactly right, Tom. I speak to people within the... now it's DEP's Fish and Wildlife. All the time, you're getting out. Yeah, you're wearing so many hats, expected to do that. And Tom, the thing is, the more you do, the more is expected. And right. you said you turn into a piece of burnt toast.
I mean, you think about it. We have, when you look, I have, ASA put together, they do an economic study. It just came out of brand new. And we look at the congressional districts in New Jersey, and to see how many people fish in that district. Well, if you look at the District 2 and 3, there's 100,000 anglers just in those, each one of those districts. And you look at five more, and they got 90,000. The lowest one we have is 60,000. And that means you're spending, like the ones that have 100,000, $8.6 million is what you spend in their district. Mm-hmm. That's legislative districts also. They should be fighting, and they should be doing. The problem is we have 800,000, at least 800,000 in New Jersey anglers. We have about 400,000 that come from out of state, depending on the year. And when we look at those figures, if we ever voted for a block, we get a hell of a lot done.
Done, yeah.
But fishermen can't agree on striped bass regulations, no less work together on getting things done.
How true is that? We're speaking with Tom Foti. Excellent paper here that was presented by for New Jersey Outdoor Alliance and the Jersey Coast Anglers Association, New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. It was a testimony for the Senate Assembly Budget Committee. And Tom, now it comes down to the monies. And there were several proposals, you know, brought up, you know, but they seem not unrealistic, not the proper term, but they've been tried before or bantered about before over years and years and years. And simply put, someone asked me, I get this asked 3 or 4 times a year in my travels, if not more than that. Why don't you have a saltwater license then if you need the money? And you talk about starting another war between the states. I don't want to say civil war, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, the problem with a saltwater license is that we're so pissed off at the system. We're so angry at the system because of what they're doing. I mean, NOAA, nobody has any trust in NOAA anymore. Do you trust them after what they did with scum and black sea bass and summer flounder? I don't.
Tom, that was a kick in the ass.
Yes. There was no need for that. And we're suffering in New Jersey because they said, well, they fall behind. Well, this is the plan. Well, screw the plan. I'm sorry about it, but screw the plan. Use common sense. This makes no sense. You're penalizing people like on scub on a quota that's probably going to be totally 20% of the quota. So for 2 or 3% of that quota, which is not going to be harvested, you're going to penalize the whole recreational industry. And that makes no sense. That's stupidity. And you know, it's basically getting yourself locked in and just fall behind the numbers so you don't get sued by Pew or any of the other organizations. I mean, that's really what they do. They avoid getting sued. So the recreational anglers don't have enough money to sue us, so screw them. And that's where we stand.
No, it's like the Pew and the radical enviro groups. It's like a sword of Damocles over your head. You do this, hey, watch out. This can happen to you. And so you have to treat it, you know, with kid gloves and be very timid. Tommy, and you're what, 23, 25, whatever years, how many years you've been doing this, the changes you've seen, have there ever been any that you would say for the benefit of the recreational anglers especially? Or has it just been they cut a little more and cut a little more? And the thing is, Tommy, do you cotton to this? Once they take it, you're never going to get it back. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I've never gotten a fish back that they take it away from us. Summer flounder, we were supposed to be, when we were doing it in 2000 and up to about, until the passage of the last Magnuson-Stevens Act, where they created the SSCs and they basically said it's got to be this, it's got to be that. And so they made the numbers crunches in charge of management. And this is why they could sue things, because this is, they say, well, here's what it's supposed to be, this is what they say, and this is what they do. And they took the management away from the council members, and by default, because we managed summer flounder, scum, and sea bass, and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, those three species, because we're basically we're messed up. So anyway, yeah, that's the other problem. And the other problem is the makeup of the councils. I mean, we should have got bigger quotas during the last go around. We were pushing for them. It took 5 years to basically even open it. And then when it came down to votes, because we didn't have enough votes at the Mid-Atlantic Council, because it's fully stocked with commercial fishermen, whenever they wanted to give us a bigger quota, they said no. And when we got increase, it was a minute increase. And it just really, you know, when I got on the commission in 1990, we were managing, as I put in this paper, we were managing summer flounder by 14-inch size limit, striped bass, and we had a bag limit on bluefin tuna. Mm-hmm. That was it. As a governor's appointee, I was only required to go to one meeting a year. And that was maybe a 3-day meeting. I would go to more meetings because me and Bruce Freeman would drive down together. Mm-hmm. But now, this job that I do at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission requires 8 weeks of my time a year. And when they did a search to try to replace me, the only person they come up with is the commercial lobbyist that gets paid. And that's the problem. We got to figure out a way to pay the governor's appointee. That's what part of my testimony also. Not me, because as soon as you start paying me, I quit. But
yeah, I know. Yeah.
That'd be the quit. But the next person that replaced me, most people, lucky or unlucky, I'm a disabled vet, as you know. I got retired from the military at a young age because of Vietnam, and then I went 100% disabled. So I didn't have any kids, so I could basically go to meetings and do this. But other people can't afford that. They're not in my economic situation. So what you're left is with paid lobbyists or people that are very rich. And so you cut out the poor charter boat captain because he can't afford to give up that much time, or the guy owns a tackle store because he can't afford to pay somebody to be there. And if we paid him a stipend, he could pay somebody to take over his store so he could go there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
How that would work. So that's one of the things I'm looking at. And I'll be testifying before the Senate next week on Tuesday, the 22nd, up in Ramapo College, only a two-hour drive from me. And then the fall, I think the 27th is when the assembly is going to do it. At least they're doing it at the statehouse. Yeah. And the problem is we also don't have a lot of the groups showing up. I mean, I'm going there representing three groups. But people show up in the budget committee for school budgets and everything else, but fishermen never show up.
Yeah, Tom, that's a tough thing to swallow. You make an excellent point here. Let's just check this out. Tommy writes, if a person serving in this job is beholden to the business paying their salary, there is no way to guarantee an impartial judgment. And that says it right there, Tom. Now, the feds, does the federal government pay their management councils?
They get paid GS-15, $500 a day. I mean, where we don't get any, we get paid expenses, but, truthfully, you go to a three-day meeting, it's actually 5 days. You got to travel one day, you got to travel home. And we're not asking to make a lot of money, but you got to be able to basically cover the person's time, and it just hasn't been done. And they do it with the council, but the council is federal. As a matter of fact, I talked to Congressman Pallone, and I said, maybe we should push the commission to be doing the same. A lot of the governor's appointees are in the same bracket. This atomic is now turned into almost a full-time job, because besides the hearings, besides the public thing, you go out and meet people. You're always going to function to talk to people and basically do it. So, this year I'll be 76 years old. I've been a governor's appointee for 23 years, legislative proxy for 6 out of the last 33 years.
Listen, this is the recreational Energizer Bunny, when it comes to representing the fishermen.
Hey, you know how I'm doing? I know I'm doing my job. I've been beat up by the recreational sector, by the environmental groups, and the commercial fishermen. And depending on what issue, one of those groups on my side, the commercial fishermen on my side when I did it on Shed, when the environmental groups when I did it on this. And I'm not going to make everybody happy. It's a compromise, but you try to do what's best for the resource first, then for the fishermen, both commercial and recreational of the state, and everybody else that you can do it. And you got to do it fairly, so the guy that sits on a dock and pier has the ability to catch a fish to take home to eat.
Tom, that's right. That's what you coined that environmental justice. I agree with you there. Where the guy that doesn't have a boat, he wants to go fishing, he wants to let him be able to do it, you know?
We turn them into poachers, and that's really it.
Yep.
And once you go down the road, which we've gone the last couple of years, I would say that if, we only have 10 law enforcement, 12 law enforcement for the whole state of New Jersey, and they do a hell of a job. They got to enforce the commercial regulations, the recreational regulations. But you can't basically, do 800,000 anglers. It's impossible with 10 people. You figure out the man.
Tom, I know you have to get going. We're up against a hard break. But in closing, in a nutshell, if you can do it, implementing a saltwater license in New Jersey, a constitutional amendment. I mean, in under a minute, Tom, can you explain what would have to be done? I'm neither pro or against people, right? I'm a neutral when it comes to this. But just what really would, nuts and bolts, Tom, to get that even put into a committee, even before a vote? What has to get done?
Well, first of all, it's got to be guaranteed a constitutional amendment. Then the Division of Fish and Wildlife needs, and Marine Fisheries and the governor needs to show that they're supporting recreational angles. And we need to have advisory committee because the Fish and Game Council has more commercial fishermen than recreational fishermen. It's not a fair arbitrator what we spend money on. So there has to be an independent group that basically of the people that are putting in money into the license. But before you do that, you got to win the trust of Jersey, and you don't have that trust, so it's almost impossible to get it through at this time.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
People out there think that there's pros and cons of having a saltwater license and get a better count. The problem is when they did the registry, they didn't do it right, so we don't get a good count. I mean, Tom, we only got 160, I think it's less than 160,000 people in the saltwater registry. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
and, right. I mean,
I see that on a busy Saturday at Creekside Outfitters.
I mean,
well, Tom, listen, thanks for your input. Listeners, Tom Foti, legislative chairman of the Jersey Coast Anglers Association, State Federation of Sportsmen's Club, and Jersey Outdoor Alliance, doing a yeoman's job, Tom, and keep it going. Hey, if you get up to the expo this weekend, today's Saturday or tomorrow, stop by the I bought my high roller raffle tickets, Foti, at the boat show.
Yeah. and you should tell people to do the registry. And if they want the Jersey Coast newspaper, since we don't give it out anymore, we don't print them, just go to our webpage and click on it. And we do real nice ways of folding it. It's really days ahead of what we used to do.
Foti, so if I can get through it, you know it's user-friendly.
It's user-friendly. Have a good day, Tom.
Tom, travel safe. I'll see you up there, man. Be good. Yeah, way long on that segment. Don't be here for a saltwater license. I didn't say that. There's a pro here and there, maybe. A lot of cons to it. Get some more federal money. Is that a Ponzi scheme? You don't know how the Walla Bro funding, however that works. But, marine fisheries needs more funding. That is a given. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
You have the choice. Whether it's going out to dinner or ordering takeout at a local restaurant or buying that new outfit from a local boutique, those choices help to put money back in your community. And Town Square Media South Jersey puts a spotlight on local businesses. Piccalilli Inn, the original Piccalilli Inn. Visit them on Facebook or at piccalilli.com for their pick specials. Nobody beats the Piccalilli, Route 206 in Chemung.
Dr. Lyle M. Back. For everything from skincare to cosmetic surgery, go to I Love Lyle Back.
Filling Marble and Tile Outlet on Philadelphia Avenue and Route 30 in Egg Harbor City. Visit fillingmarble.com.
Jenkins Plumbing and Heating. Call Jenkins for heating and air conditioning installation, service and maintenance, plumbing or drain cleaning service. 609-641-6440 or jenkinsplumbingandheating.com.
Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling Professionals at ambientcomfortnj.com. Thank you for supporting these great local businesses from Town Square Media, South Jersey.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We got a March 18th and 19th. I said in the, I mentioned it in the last segment with Tom Foti and in the opening segment. Try to get it. It's a hell of a show. It's one of the biggest on the East Coast. Well, there's a bigger show in Florida, but Florida's not of this universe when it comes to fishing. But New Jersey Expo and Exposition Center up there on Sunfield Avenue in Edison. It's the Saltwater Expo. I think they have almost 300 exhibitors or something like that, 208. The who's who. Everybody's there. If you get up there, I think it's booth 167. Check out Fish Bites. Man, they have some stuff this year. They introduced it last year. I have some new stuff this year. I had to make a call down there. This stuff is looking incredible. Had a lot of reports from people using some of their grubs last year and really made an impact. And they have this new stuff out now. I'm looking at it right here. Well, it's the Easy Crab. Check it out. Blue crab. This is going to be a crush. You got the what's this guy's I forget the rep's name, but he's going to be up there at the show. I said, you had a call into Mike Carr down here. Mike is jamming, slamming, otherwise cramming. Put me in touch with pro staff administrator, young gun too, man. This guy has balls to the wall. Gotta love it. Brett Burford. We're going to be talking some of the new fish bites baits and some of the standard baits that are, hey, again, striper season's going on. The white perch are going on. You have tog. I'm going to try this on tog. April 1st. Sea bass. This is going to kill the sea bass. Porgies, forget it. We got too much stuff going on. Hey, Brett, man, you got me too excited here. I'm wiggling in my chair, dude.
All right, man. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Brett, some great baits in your stable, and now you have some of these new ones. Listen, the last year of fish, car specialty baits, fish bites, they're based in St. Augustine. They've been around since, I guess, the mid to late 90s. The father passed away several years ago. He was just an ace scientist, came up with this incredible product here. But they came out with their, I guess, their Fight Club. It's part of their SKUs. They had a 5-inch and a 6-inch grub that the I guess with Fisherman Booth, as a premium subscribe, they gave away a pack of fish, pack of these jokes. People were coming back this year, worked the Fisherman Booth, screaming about how good they were. Brett, these 6-inch grubs and the 5-inch grubs really made an impact on the flounder fishing up here last year, bro.
Yes, sir, man. They very durable. It's got our scent technology packed throughout the bait. We put all our scent in the bait. There's no need to soak these baits. Once they hit the water, they start releasing the scent, and it'll release for hours.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I guess you're on the water a lot testing these things, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, Brett, going to the 5-inch grub, I noticed, and I always push this for the back bay, the perfect size for the back bay. I noticed the flat bottom on the front. Why is that?
Yes, sir. So, you know, Dr. Carr was an old school guy. And if you remember years ago when these guys were pouring these baits, a lot of guys had a flat side down when you flip the mold over. And that's just the idea behind it. It also helps with a little bit of the action with that tail with a little offset.
Right.
And it really gets that tail moving. And as most of you guys probably know, I mean, fish see kind of in a silhouette. I mean, they don't really key in on round or flat. I mean, it's just that silhouette they're looking for. So it really doesn't affect what the fish is seeing, but it's giving that tail a lot more action, and it kind of keeps old school vibe fish bites is known for.
Yeah, Brett, before we get to the scent dispersal system, listen, this is the Fight Club lineup. You have the butt kicker paddle tail. That's a 4-incher. It worked okay for us last year. We got some fish on it. The Dirty Box was the 5-inch curly tail, the flat bottom. I'll tell you, in the bays and tight, this thing was a killer. And the 6-inch grub is called the White Knuckle.
That's one of the few colors we got.
And then you have that, I believe, in chartreuse, pink, and optic white, correct?
Yes, and we've also got a hammerfish color, which is kind of a silver with some red flakes mixed in it. And we also have what we call the cheap shot, which is a salmon-type color that we just came out with this year.
Whoa! We're speaking with Brett Burford, Pro Staff Administrator of Fish Bites, Car Specialty Baits. Get up there to the Edison Show and check out that booth. The scent dispersal system, Brett, and that the fact that these things... In the grub, and we'll get to the baits with the mesh in it in a minute. But is it a slow dispersal, quick dispersal? I mean, these baits, these scents really last that long in there? You know what I'm comparing it to, which is very successful, don't get me wrong. But will it last as long?
Absolutely, and it'll last longer. When it hits that water, it will take a couple minutes to kind of activate that scent technology. So you might not get that immediate bite, but it'll also last a lot longer. I mean, we've had these baits soaked for over an hour, and we're still catching fish. And the beauty of these baits is one, their durability and the scent technology. But even when you do get some bites from some toothy critters, the bait kind of pulls apart like string cheese. I mean, you're not losing half a tail or anything, so you can still have that. I mean, we fish these things for hours. They are beat to hell. Even if we lose a little bit of the tail, it doesn't matter. That scent is still pouring out of the bait, and fish are still hitting it.
Well, Brett, that was the one big thing. To a person, pointed it out that these tails don't tear off, man. Unlike such and such, they don't tear off. We caught so many fish, and it seemed that little, I don't know, again, the consistency of it, the formulation of it, that is a tougher tail, and that's a big seller right there, bro.
That's it, man. Yep. And yeah, like I said before, there's the scent's in there. It's fully impregnated in the bait. The material we use is 100% biodegradable. Mm-hmm. And what that allows do is fully impregnate that thing. We don't have to soak it. The scent is in there, and it'll slowly come out. If you put any kind of plastic, PVC, or rubber in these baits and you try to impregnate them, the scent gets trapped. It can't come out. So by being 100% biodegradable material, we can impregnate it. That scent the water pulls through that bait and pulls that scent out and leaves a trail all the way behind. Fish come find it.
Yeah, and Brett, this is something, too, people don't realize. You know, you see these things as scented, the scent within, but the fish have to bite through that plastic to get the flavor, and so they're keying in on the action or the color, not really the scent. But these things leave a trail in the water, like you said, correct?
Absolutely.
Ideal for these ideal performance temperatures. You're flounder fishing up here in the summer, or season's going to start May 2nd. Our water's still pretty chilly, especially in the back bays out front. What's the ideal temperature on these grubs?
It doesn't matter, man. I mean, if you get into really cold water, it's just going to extend the time before that scent comes out. But, I mean, you can fish these baits in all kinds. We've had guys fishing these baits in the ice up in the Great Lakes and doing well
with
them
as well.
So, yeah, it doesn't really matter. The scent's going to get out there if water's moving and pulling through it.
Okay, join us on the Rack of Inline is Brett Burford, Pro Staff Administrator, Carr Specialty Baits, a.k.a. Fish Bites. Brett, the time invested in this, before these were introduced last year, I'm sure, again, knowing Terry and Mike and the crew there, you included, you're constantly fine-tuning, improving it. From conception to when these things hit the shelves last year and the new one's coming out this year, how long? Is that within a year, year and a half, 2 years? What's the dealio?
Well, if you're talking specifically about the grubs, it took us about a year to get it all right, get the right shape, get the right weight, more importantly, to make sure that thing swims right. Mm-hmm. We came out with molded baits years ago, back 2007, something like that. They were under a different line, Extreme Baits, and we kind of reinvented it. We changed the shapes a little bit, fine-tuned those, and that took a couple years getting them back and remarketed it as the Fight Club lineup, and we just continue to build on that, make improvements here and there with the feedback we get from our loyal customers, and there's no signs of slowing down. We're going to be getting into a lot of different colors. We got some new machinery that's going to allow us to do that.
Oh, boy.
And,
boy.
Probably start working on some bigger paddle tails. We're going to work on some smaller paddle tails. I mean, this stuff's working great in the freshwater. We got the crappie guys that are just cutting the tails off of our little butt kickers there and slaying the crappie down here. So we're going to be working on the smaller profile jig for the freshwater guys, and then and some bigger baits for the guys out in Alaska who want these really big paddle tails for their halibut.
Yep. Yeah. I remember when we had the Kalen's account years and years and years ago, they're big and grub. This thing was like 14 inches or something. Weighed about a pound.
God, they're enormous.
Yeah. With the 18 or 24 ounce heads. But my proclivities, Brett, I haven't used chicken livers for channel cats and bullheads in years. I'm using your Yaman. I have a stockpile of them. I don't know if you still make them or not, but that thing kicks ass. It kicks ass.
Yeah, we still make them. Yeah, the shad and the crawfish that's work great for any of those channel cats.
Okay, we're up against a hard break. Coming back next segment, I want to talk the easy baits, okay, the strip baits, and some of the ones here, the chunks, the pennant-sized ones. It's across the board. Fish Bites is now a major player. Again, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Fish Bites, Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Cantor. After Silicon Valley Bank's collapse over a week ago, concerns over the banking industry continuing to impact the stock market.
Shares of First Republic Bank plunging over 30% and by far the S&P 500's biggest decliner, despite receiving $30 billion in deposits from the country's largest banks. All 11 of the S&P 500 sectors closing in the red today.
Fox's Hillary Barsky. A federal judge ordering additional testimony from an attorney for Donald Trump in the Mar-a-Lago documents investigation.
His name is Evan Corcoran. Sources say he declined to answer questions in the past about private conversations he had with the former president.
That's Fox's David Spunt in Washington. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon signing bill prohibiting abortion pills, making it the first state to enact the ban. America's listening to Fox News.
You
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 back here with the forecast for South Jersey. Today, sun followed by increasing clouds. The high will be 47. Tonight, plenty of clouds with occasional rain and drizzle late. The low will be 36. Tomorrow, periods of rain with a high 48. And on Tuesday, mostly cloudy with shower spots. We'll have winds gusting past 40 miles per hour. The high will be 44. I'm AccuWeather's Garrett Beck on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 18th and 19th. Hey, man, Tog's going to open up in a couple of weeks. And I am going to be trying. I am going to definitely be trying. People say, Tom P., you're great. I think it'll work. The Fish Bites Easy Crab, the new blue crab formula. I want to talk about this and some of these other easy bites. They just work. But Brett corrected me on the booth at the Saltwater Expo up there at the New Jersey Expo Convention Center. It's 97 Sunfield Drive in Edison. You're looking from the Rack and Fin Radio area, hour and a half, maybe two, or from wherever you are. It's booth 617 for the fish bites. Booth 617. I can't remember that rep's name. It's almost like a Hollywood name. But he'll be there.
There's Davenport West.
That's it. Davenport West. I mean, is he Hollywood or is he Hollywood?
He is Hollywood. And then our head of sales, Scott Jones, is up there as well. And let me tell you, we got some great deals going on there. You get one bag for $5. You can go in there and get three for $10. You can't beat it.
I'm gonna have to make a run up there. Holy God, man. You can't beat that. Well, let's get to the easy concept here. Listen, remember back in the mid-90s, the bag of worms got up here. Like I said, I look like Pink Linguini in there. What is that? Tried it for white perch that went crazy, called kingfish with it. Now, you have a full lineup now. The easy clam, the blue crab especially, I'm looking at Tog, sea bass, triggerfish, porgies, blowfish, kingfish, winter flounder. Everything eats fish bites, it seems. But again, it's critical with the water temperature. You have a standard and you have a fast acting. You have two formulas. Right. Explain the use of each, please.
Okay, the long-lasting formula is what everybody's probably used to. It's got that mesh running down the middle of it. Very durable. The scent gets out there. Great bait. We've got the fast-acting that's a little less durable. It does not have that mesh running through it. It's really for waters, 60 degrees and below. Both of them can be effective for different applications. You can't go wrong with the long-lasting. I mean, you're going to catch multiple fish on one little piece of bait. And when you get into talking about the tog and sea bass, we've already got a guy field testing these up in Virginia Beach, Wrecked Dog Fishing Charters, and he is absolutely crushing them. If you can go check out his Facebook page, he's catching some huge tog and tons of sea bass. I mean, this guy's limiting it out every trip with his clients and just absolutely crushing it.
Now, you have the fishing strips, you have, the sand flea. And it worked great. You have the sand flea, the clam, and the shrimp. Again, sea bass, find this stuff irresistible. The toughness there, you mentioned the mesh. Brett, here's the thing. When I first was using these, and as I continue to use them, there have been times a white perch bite has been so intense, like the formula, whatever you call it, fruit roll-up, however Mike described it, whatever consistent, whatever gel that is worn away. They're biting the mesh.
I know. I don't have an explanation for that. Only thing I can think is when they first initially hit it, there was a little bit of meat left on that bone, and by the time you reeled it in, the meat was gone. But yeah, I've reeled in several fish, and all we've got is the mesh in there. It's pretty incredible.
Now, applications for deep water. I mean, do you have baits like the pennant shape baits, or designed for deep water, bigger fish down where you are, a grouper and stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah, as you mentioned before the break, we've got some chunk pendant pieces that come in squid, shrimp, and crab. Just the one color white. But yeah, we got guys dropping these in 400 feet of water and reeling up tile fish and all kinds of different critters down there. It works great. You can add it on with a piece of fresh bait. And if they steal that fresh bait, you still got some scent in the water, and they'll come back and take that pendant as well. A lot of guys are taking these pendant pieces, putting them on the back of a bucktail, dropping it down, and then doing really well with that as well. You have a little bit of scent with that action, and when they bite onto it, they actually taste something.
There you go. But I have to back you up here. You're saying tile fish on fish bites?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, get the hell out of here. Are you serious?
Absolutely.
I'm going to take it to task on it. Wow. Send me some photos of that, man.
Yeah, man. We can do it.
Now, Fish Bites Chum. Is that new? Has that been out? What's your market penetration up here in the Jersey area? Jersey, Pensy, you know, New York, Maryland, Delaware. What do you got?
Yeah, it's a fairly new product. I mean, all it is, we had all this leftover scraps from when we were cutting the baits and getting them bagged and decided to do something with it. So we took it's a combination of all our different scents. We've added some glitter in there to mimic some scaling. And you'd work it just like you would any other chum. You know, you could throw it in a little burlap sack on the side of the boat. And, you're just going to put a lot of scent in the water and bring those little fish in. And the big fish will follow them.
There you go. Joining us is Brett Burford, Pro Staff Administrator, Fish Bites, a.k.a. Car Specialty Baits. But Brett, I'm just fascinated. I talked Mike's ear off. I got a press release about this or notification, whatever, about the blue crab formula maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. I said, I penned him in, have you or whatever come in, have to get this out there to the audience. The decision to go with blue crab, who made it? And I have to ask you this, why did it take so long knowing how effective or how popular, rather, especially with stripers, calico crabs, blue crabs, they see a crab, man, they're going to suck it down. Sea bass, tog, they see a crab, they're going to suck it down. That you come up with a blue crab formula, what gives?
Well, it was kind of weird. It wasn't something we were really thinking about. We've had a lot of guys here on the northeast coast of Florida who have been asking for a purple and white clam scent. And we've got a lot of these coquina periwinkle clams on our beaches.
Yeah, all right.
Got open a pompano or whiting's belly, and they're just full of them. So we brought that to market, and it went nuts. And then the next question, well, why don't we have a blue crab? Well, that's a great idea. Why don't we have one out? And it's done twice as much sales than the periwinkle clam that we've got out there. So we're on to something here, and we're going to keep trying to do, you know, you mentioned the sand flea before, that orange and white. We've only got that in one color, which is amazing to us. I mean, it was only over the last couple of years. I didn't even know you guys used sand fleas up there. We thought they were just kind of a Florida thing.
Oh, no.
Sand fleas have exploded in the Northeast over the last couple of years. So we're going to work on some new sand flea colors as well. Anybody wants to give us any feedback on what they'd like to see, we've got a couple different ideas out there, but we're going to be doing that as well.
This is, again, one of the progressive. You have the young guns in this company that, again, angler feedback, customer feedback. It's important.
Absolutely.
It's not bean counter saying we have to come up with this, come up with that, something new this year and do it under this amount of money. They're listening to the customers because the customers pay your salaries, correct?
That's right, man. It's all about the customers. It's all about the small shops out there promoting us and getting this stuff in the right hands.
Now, the concentration of scent in this blue crab, listen, it's a 2-count, 1/2 inch by 12 inch in length, 1/2 inch wide. So you're gonna have plenty of baits in there. You cut it as big as you want, wrap it around the hook, hook it however you want. The scent dispersal, as you know from Fish Bites, is gonna take a couple minutes, but it's gonna be incredible. Now, when do you decide is enough scent in a respective bait? Is there a formula? Could always use more. Do you ever over scent it? What's the deal?
No, it's pretty precise as to what Dr. Carr wanted. I mean, he was the brains behind the operation, and what he says goes. Years ago we did add, you know, we kind of doubled the scent on all of our products. And, and it's been that way for a few years. You'll see it on the bag, longer lasting, more scent. That's nothing new. That's been over the last few years we've been doing that. And it seems to have really made a difference for in some areas of the country. So we're going to keep rocking and rolling with that. And but it's down to a real science. And we don't want to fool too much with what Dr. Carr has already done because we know it works. And, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Brett, market penetration here, again, Mid-Atlantic, New Jersey, you guys, it's constantly, you're constantly adding shops, correct? I'm seeing them everywhere. I'm seeing them everywhere.
Yeah, we did a big promo deal with several shops in the area with that big grub. They're all loaded up. Goose, Hammock, Dave Nichols, the Fisherman, Red Top Sporting Goods, Watch Hill Outfitters, Fat Fitters, J&B Tackle, and the list goes on. So I think there's 12 shops over there. We just loaded up with big grubs.
And listen, a lot of these shops are going to be at the expo that's going on this weekend And you guys, you basically have it covered. Plans for the future, Brett, expanding your pro staff, again, besides the market share, new products coming out. Your pro staff, for example, are you guys already working on 2024 product ideas?
Yes, we are. We're looking at doing, like I said, we're going to be doing more colors across the board on all our Fight Club lures. And we're really going to try to start working and try getting the freshwater game. We've got some several ideas for that. So we might try to penetrate that market a little bit. But right now, we're busy trying to go worldwide. We started shipping to New Zealand about 18 months ago.
I heard
we've
that.
We've already got five stores over there. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, the one time I called Mike, he says, hey, we got international stuff going on. I'll call you back next month. He was gone.
Yeah,
no, I'm just telling you one thing. Do not tinker, mess, or otherwise tamper with the Yaman formula. That's my catfish go-to. You got that? You understand that? I'm laying it out now on Rack and Fin, March 18th. Give that to Terry and Mike from me, okay?
I will let them know.
Okay, Brett Burford, thanks for joining us. Pro Staff Administrator, Fish Bites, a.k.a. Carr Specialty Baits. They're at the Expo. They are in your favorite tackle shops. These 6-inch grubs for flounder, going to knock your socks off. But again, then you have the bag of worms. We know how that works. And try these new Fish Bite Easy Crab, the blue crab formula. It's going to be, I can't wait to April 1st, unless there's, usually I get seasick on a floating dock, Burford. But for Tog, I'll wear the wristbands. I have the patches behind both ears and a box of Dramamine in my gut. So I'm gonna be trying these for the Tog. Hey, give that website, Facebook page. What do you got for Fish Bites? Go.
Yeah, we're on Facebook at Fish Bites, Instagram at Fish Bites, and if you want to order anything online, it's www.fishbites.com. If you're in the Fluke Fishing Group on Facebook, there is a discount code in there for you if you want to order anything online as far as big grubs go, and give them a shot. You guys won't be disappointed.
As the saying goes, shout out to Eddie Bronson, Fanatics on West Haven, Ocean City. It ain't no use if it ain't chartreuse. I like White Gets the Bite, but also from the AC/DC album, Fly on the Wall, Sink the Pink. The Pink,
wow.
my lovely Dee Marie, she clobbered him with the Pink. Shout out to Captain Scott Newhall, too, on that trip. He's saying, what is this stuff? It was amazing. Well, Bert, you take care. Be safe out there. Hopefully, you'll see you at one of these shows, man.
Yeah, man.
We'll see you later. Bye. A young gun. Good guy. A young gun. Man, getting it done. Fish Bites. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
This is House Call for Health. The elevator or the stairs? If you're concerned about a healthy lifestyle, you should start walking because those steps count. The American Council on Exercise says 10 minutes of stair climbing for a 165-pound person burns 100 calories. It'll also strengthen leg muscles and give you an energy boost. Dr. Kelly Jones is a performance dietitian and consultant in Philadelphia and tells Fox News Digital, compared to walking on a flat surface, climbing stairs requires people to raise their own body weight against the forces of gravity, putting extra stress on muscles and the cardiorespiratory system. Dr. Jones went on to say, when stairs are taken regularly, the body is better able to recover from added stress to become stronger and more metabolically efficient, positively impacting health. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
At the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, we are working now more than ever to fill the emptiness caused by hunger. We are the state's largest anti-hunger organization, and together with our 800-plus community partners, we are committed to delivering food, help, and hope to our hundreds of thousands of New Jersey neighbors in need. We couldn't do it without your support. Please go to cfbnj.org to donate today. That's cfbnj.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Hey, get out there. That freshwater bite, the bass bite is hot. Largemouths are on the move. And pickerel have been crazy. Yellow perch crappies, the bite is on. A lot of fun. And also, can't forget the white perch or the stripers. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Yeah, well, March is the winter's hanging on. Hey, it'll be in the 60s before you know it. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.